Film critic Henry Sheehan has a review of Hannibal, the new sequel to The Silence of the Lambs. Hannibal stars Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal the Cannibal Lecter and Julianne Moore as FBI agent Clarice Starling, the role originated by Jodie Foster. Hannibal was directed by Ridley Scott.
Whether we're talking about the movie or the lip-smacking Midwestern cannibal, Hannibal is dull and gross. Using the crude technique pioneered by William Friedkin in The Exorcist, director Ridley Scott leads us through acres of barren exposition with only brief stops at oases of blood and gore. So Hannibal is an unworthy successor to the extravagantly overpraised Silence of the Lambs. Despite being morally slippery and stylistically overdrawn, that movie at least had a keen sense of structure. Young FBI agent Clarice Starling, on the track of a serial killer, had to split her time between two storylines. In one, she pursued a sexually perverse madman who had kidnapped a politician's daughter. In the second, she confronted Hannibal Lecter, an imprisoned cannibalistic killer who, in a cat-and-mouse game, gave her insight into the mind of her quarry. Hannibal may have been written by David Mamet and Oscar-winning Steven Zaillian, but structurally, it's a mess. The action opens with Agent Starling, now played by a prissy Julianne Moore instead of an ice-cold Jodie Foster, supervising a deadly botched drug bust. Her superiors, who are manipulated by an evil billionaire, both censure her and put her back on the trail of the escaped Lecter. On the trail, though, means sitting in a basement for much of the movie, watching old videotapes. Lecter, meanwhile, is in Florence, flouncing around under a pseudonym and angling for a job at a classics library. These sequences, in which director Scott shows off his talents for turning any street corner into a dramatic forum, are supposed to be a showcase for Anthony Hopkins. After all, much of the movie is constructed around, and the advertising campaign relies upon, Hopkins' reprised performance as the lip-smacking Lecter. The Florence sequences don't really have anything to do with the rest of the movie. Starling eventually figures out that Lecter is there, but mostly the killer toys with a crooked Italian police detective played by a still gauntly handsome Giancarlo Giannini. But this focus on Hopkins only exposes his shortcomings. Whatever he was in Silence of the Lambs, Lecter is now more movie monster than human. He dresses and acts theatrically, and he doesn't just speak a line, but purrs, murmurs, declaims, or accuses with brio. He's a first cousin to a road company Phantom of the Opera. In this scene, Lecter gloats over Giannini as he shows him a gruesome Renaissance painting of a hanging.
Oh, I should have shown them this one. I can't imagine how I missed it. Mama, I told you about it. It's a rendering I found in the Capone Library. Can you make it out? There's a name there. The one I told you about. Ancestor Commendatore, hanging beneath these very windows, Francesca de Pazzi. On a related subject, I must confess to you, I'm giving very serious thought. To eating your wife.
The giveaway is that whenever Hopkins stops talking, the already obtrusive music wells up. Visually, Hopkins is even more at sea. As he strides through Florence, his round, ruddy face adorned with an oversized borsellino, his stocky body encased in a billowing cape-like coat, he looks like nothing so much as a happily tipsy tourist who has just been mugged by a boutique sales staff. Through creaky contrivance, Starling and Lecter do finally get to duel face-to-face, but by then the movie is dragging so much that the filmmakers begin emergency injections of gore. None of this amounts to much. It's too bad, because Silence of the Lambs did pick up on the whiff of terrifying perversity between Starling and Lecter. The two enacted the bond between a sexually abusive adult and a grown-up victim of child abuse, a tense and terrifying relationship. But though Moore is generally a terrific actress, As Starling, she gets lost in fussy and self-conscious display. When she and Hopkins get together at the climax for a dinner of living human brain, there's no sense of emotional bondage to accompany the grotesquerie. The overwhelming sensation is of futility, of a bad hand played out to its last card, a joker.
Henry Sheehan is film critic for the Orange County Register.